Novominsk reeked of death. It always had. But to Ramsen Quicktongue, the city had also held the stench of power and corruption, of murder and survival, swirling together in an intoxicating redolence that corroded one's soul. It was no different now, save for the eerie darkness and silent snow that blanketed it. Ramsen navigated the narrow alleyways of his childhood haunts with quick, precise steps. The last time he'd been here had been with Anastasia Mikhailov during the Fyrvesnezh at his former master's mansion. It had only been a little over 1 moon since the celebration of the first snows. But now, that world felt almost utterly unrecognizable. In just 4 weeks, Novominsk had transformed into a ghost town, abandoned by most of its residents as they sought to flee the new regime. Streets that had once shimmered with torchlight and writhed with bejeweled bodies and raucous revelers had been replaced by shuttered stores and empty windows. Bodies littered the streets in areas where gangs had scrapped over bits of food, and snow had blanketed them, leaving only glimpses of clothing or a protruding boot as macabre grave markers. It was not an unfamiliar sight over his travels from town to ravaged town with Anna. Since Morgania had ascended the throne, much of northern Cyrillia had fallen to her control. From newspaper pieces and torn posters in abandoned villages, Ramsen and Anna had learned of the Imperial Inquisition, a wide-scale hunt for non-Aphanites who were accused of any affiliation with Aphanite trafficking. Led by Aphanites fiercely loyal to the Empress, it was a movement that had come to define Morgania's regime. The South, though, remained free from the tightening grasp of Morgania's rule. That included Goldwater Port. According to Anna, the Red Cloaks had established their base there, as it remained one of the last standing free havens for Aphanites and non-Aphanites alike. It was there that Anna traveled to begin her resistance movement with the Red Cloaks. And it was there, Ramsen had slowly begun to think, he could fight for some semblance of a life again after all this was over. He'd once been the portmaster. Under his former master Alaric Curlin's rule, he'd built a city teeming with commerce and crime and underground networks. The kind of place he'd dreamt of calling his own one day. He hadn't told Anna explicitly where he was going tonight, because it wasn't explicitly a task for her. Their mission. Rather, Ramsen had felt the silent call of this place as soon as he'd set foot in Novominsk. The phantom pull of a connection he hadn't quite managed to sever yet. He'd come to find out, for himself, what had happened to Alaric Curlin and the Order of the Lily. And he'd come to bid the torn wreckages of his past goodbye, once and for all, as he turned down a new path. The tapping of his freshly sharpened misericord against his hip came to an abrupt stop when Ramsen turned the last corner and slowed. He found that he was suddenly glad for the sharp knife at his waist. The Curlin estate stood alone in the middle of a snow-covered street, half buried by the snow, its battered golden gates yawning wide. Gone were the rows of liveried guards. Gone were the diamond glass lamps, spilling halos of light onto lush lawns. Gone were the brightly lit windows burning into the darkest nights. Ramsen touched a leather-gloved hand on the broken railing of the gate and hesitated. Even now, the sight of the Curlin estate did not fail to elicit a muddy swirl of emotions in him. He'd known pain here. So much pain, still seared into his flesh in the shape of the brand of the Order of the Lily. He'd seen growth. Sharpened by that hunger and fear, and driven by the knowledge that he had to do whatever he needed to in order to survive. And he'd tasted happiness, fleeting as bursts of color in the Empire's gray skies, in the blood trades he'd made and the honors he'd gained, paid for with the lives of other men as he upheld Alaric Curlin's rule.